I'd like to know how, you know, how to contribute in that. My personal feeling has always been what the mother said, that the best way to help others is to grow in the spirit within. So I feel like that's the direction I'd like to go in, and also to pursue that goal through taking courses in learning more about Sri Aurobindo and the mother. I don't know, how does that fit into your collective worldview? I mean, should I be doing more actively in pursuing things, or should I be more concentrating on growing within?
Your question is a very, very interesting question. Your statement is that, and this is in the context of what Mother has said, the best way of helping others is to make oneself more and more spiritual, and therefore to go within, and therefore to develop. And this is, of course, incontrovertible as far as I'm concerned. And I fully agree with your statement. Only question is that when you begin to grow within, how do you go about it? You know, there's a very interesting statement which the mother has made. And this is in connection with Aurobindo. She said, the path of our work lies with the task of research. And research in the new synthesis of yoga. In fact, that is the main theme of all my journey today. So my answer will be, the two are not contradictory. The going within and working on life, this is our method. And many people may find it difficult, but this is the method. And we have to find a solution as to how to go within and yet to work through life. Of course, it doesn't mean that there is no place in this yoga for solitude, for periods of complete seclusion even, but there are periods only. You can have an hour or two of seclusion if you like, or some people may not even need that. It all depends upon each individual's needs. There are moments where you have to occupy yourself 24 hours out of 24 hours on some work. Or as sometime mother said, I never go into meditation at all. And this statement is also very full. And yet, it is precisely because she is always in meditation. All work is being done through meditation. So, to conclude, I would simply say that your answer is, to me at least, is wonderful. What you have said is wonderful, that you would like to work on yourself and to develop spiritually. And I would only add that it does not therefore mean that your task should not be related to activities. And I would very much like that all of us, whatever other occupations we will be engaged in, we should all undertake the task of spiritual education. We all are responsible in this world for the children of the world. And each one has to participate in the task of spiritual education. Is it all right?
Yes, thank you very much.
Devashish, is there any other question?
I was wondering about that very interesting conversation that you shared with us, with the mother, regarding the supramental manifestation apropos the Dalai Lama's visit with her. if I may recollect what you said there, has to do with the very powerful action of the supramental, but you said that it can affect itself more speedily if there are the right people in power. Is that what you said? Would you like to comment on that? How is that possible? Yes.
Well, I would. It's a very, very important question, in fact. You know, I personally feel that one of the consequences of the supramental action which I have myself experienced in my own personal life is that at the right moment the right people come to the right place of authority through the exercise of which the right things can be done as speedily as possible. And I think that's a very important strategy of action. Supermind, according to me, is a power by which each person is placed in a position of highest effectivity. Because the present world is topsy-turvy, those who ought to be in authority, they are in a very deplorable condition. Nobody listens to them. And those who are not worthy of being in the position of authority, they are occupying very high positions of authority. When the supermind begins to manifest more and more, this situation is bound to be reversed. And everyone who participates in this movement of supramental manifestation will find gradually occupying a position where effectivity of his or her faculties becomes truly fruitful. Authority does not mean necessarily coming to some high position. I personally believe authority means you are able to authorize the right action, wherever you are, according to your capacity, according to your function, according to whatever you want to do. At present, it is being denied. In a certain sense, you might say that if a very good teacher is taken up from his teachership and is made a prime minister, where he cannot really function properly, his authority has been taken away. And this also is happening today. Those who should be very good teachers are holding very high positions of authority in politics. I am reminded of Sri Aurobindo's aphorism, where he says, "For thee, it is better to be a good shoemaker than to become an incompetent king." Now, that's a wonderful statement of Sri Aurobindo. And I think by authority, I mean, at least how I understand what Mother says, authority. To be effective at the right place in the right moment and occupy that position where you can exercise your faculties to the highest possible effectiveness. And I think this is what has to happen.
Can I ask a question? This is Sitaram here.
Yes, certainly. Please do. What is your name?
How to identify spiritual education, because in the past lot of other forms like missionaries, so many missionaries and others, in the name of spiritual education basically did a lot more damage than anything else. So how to identify the correct spiritual education?
I think your question is so important that I may not like to answer in one line. But since our time now is very little, your question, how to identify spiritual education as distinguished from the kind of education that missionaries have been giving in different parts of the world. Well, I think, as you know, Mother has made a distinction between spiritual education and religion. And if you ask me what is the difference between what is being very often called spiritual education, but which is only religion, and how do you distinguish from what I call spiritual education? I will give only three examples. You see, according to me, spiritual education has three stages. The first is the study of concentration. This is something what Swami Vivekananda said while speaking of man-making education. And he said, if he knew in his early days the power of concentration, he would have spent time in learning the art and science of concentration than in reading so many books. Because not many people realize that concentration is a method of gaining knowledge. That is to say, if you want to know, and if you know how to concentrate, and the very process of concentration itself can lead you to the knowledge that you are looking for. So I would say spiritual education should basically concentrate itself upon learning the science of concentration. Secondly, it consists of what Mother calls tapasya. Tapasya. There are different kinds of austerities. What Mother speaks of tapasya, tapasya of knowledge. That is to say, concentration which purifies the faculties of the mind so that the mind becomes capable of arriving at knowledge. Secondly, tapasya of love. As you know, love at present is a very mixed affair. And tapasya of love implies a great process of purification. The liberation of our entire realm of emotions from various kinds of desires to possess, to oppress, to enjoy momentary enjoyments, and so on. The purification of emotions from all these impurities so that love begins to shine and vibrate and better burn actually in our heart. This burning of heart so that all impurities are burnt away and the purity of love alone remains in our consciousness. Thirdly is the tapasya of will. At present our will is full of desires. petty desires, bigger desires, ambitions of various kinds. As Mother said, n'ambition jamais, have no ambition. Mais fais ce que tu fais aussi vite que possible, aussi parfaitement que possible. Have no ambition, but do what you are doing as quickly as possible and as perfectly as possible. This is the tapasya of will. And tapasya of beauty. According to me, if one develops these four processes of tapasya, with the preliminary development of concentration, this is spiritual education. It is the foundations of spiritual education. And then comes a higher stage, which should not be given to everybody except when the individual makes a personal decision. This concentration and tapasya can be proposed to everybody. But the next step of spiritual education is conditional. It cannot be given unless the individual says, I have now decided to accept the full discipline of spiritual education. That is why when you want to popularize spiritual education in the world, please limit only to these processes which I have spoken of up till now. The next step can be given and must be given to those who have decided. And that process is what I call the process of self-consecration. The first stage was self-concentration. Now you come to the stage of self-consecration. And self-consecration requires a tremendous sadhana, tremendous development of obedience. But obedience of illumined disciple of the truth. So first you should become disciple of truth and should develop discipline which is illuminating. Secondly, you must develop the heroism, a kind of obedience of a hero who fights against injustice and falsehood. It's the second aspect of the self-consecration. And third aspect of self-consecration is to become a faithful servant. One who does not know what is faithfulness cannot do self-consecration. These three qualities in this spirit, if they are developed, then comes the final stage, and that is self-transformation. And that is, of course, implies psychic transformation, spiritual transformation, supramental transformation. This will be the whole program of spiritual education. Very briefly, it has nothing to do with what missionaries are doing, reading this book or that book or scripture or all that sort of thing. This is a process in which you change the very psychological fiber of the being. Thank you.
Kiril bhai, that was so beautiful and profound. And in fact, it seems as if almost like a seed summary of the new synthesis of yoga that can break the impasse as you have brought up.